Charles, I think I'd better start by stating categorically that I don't think Liverpool was the nameless university in Julie's anecdote at the end of her presentation. Just for the record. I'm delighted to be here with you today, here in this room and indeed, I guess, virtually online, and to be sharing with you three different examples of successful transnational partnerships developed by the University of Liverpool. I want to share with you the different funding models in operation for each of these partnerships, together with the risks and benefits, and how we've used technology to support those partnerships. And then finally, I'll conclude with some of the lessons that we've learned through our partnership development and management. And thankfully, many of those lessons echo what Bill and Julie have said before. So, developing strategic partnerships with carefully selected organisations supports our global strategic aims. And these include, firstly, to strengthen our international research, diversify our research income, and increase numbers of international students, PGR students at the university. Perhaps I've just gone backwards, have I, with my slides? Can we reset them, please? Sorry about that. Our second aim is to grow the number of international students who are studying for a Liverpool degree, not just in Liverpool, but overseas and indeed online. So some of the motivation for international strategies is to bring more students to the UK. Part of our international strategy is to take a Liverpool degree out there into the world and make it available and accessible to those who couldn't necessarily otherwise come to the UK to study. Thank you very much for that. And I'll try to keep it going in the right direction from now. Our third aim is to increase student and staff mobility. Indeed, as Bill mentioned earlier, this is not just about bringing international students into Liverpool and into the UK. This is also about encouraging our students at home to go and spend time studying in our partnerships abroad, thereby broadening not just their educational experience but their cultural experience and making them more prepared for the world of professional work when they graduate. And that also applies to our staff, who we encourage to work with our partners abroad, not just from Liverpool, but locally as well. And finally, all of this, of course, helps to contribute to developing and growing our international reputation as a university. So I'm going to give you an overview of three types of partnerships that we have engaged in. The first is a wholly online partnership. The second is a modest-scale partnership, campus partnership, with about 300 students. And the third example is a very large-scale partnership in China, which will grow ultimately to about 15,000 students. So, okay, our first case study, our online partnership. We deliver our online programs with our partner, Laureate Online Education, who are leading international experts in the delivery and teaching of online education. Liverpool has played a pioneering role in online learning for over 14 years now, and we're one of Europe's largest providers of fully online postgraduate degree programs. We offer 36 programs, masters and doctoral level programs, for professionals who want to enhance their careers by studying for an advanced academic degree with the University of Liverpool. Main subject areas include management, IT, law, health, psychology, education, and there are, of course, more. More than 10,500 students living in over 160 countries worldwide are currently studying on our online programs with us. 85% of our online students are in full-time employment, and about half of those are employer-funded. Most are at middle or senior level professionals in their organizations. And our online graduates have created a very highly influential cohort of alumni who support the university now in many ways. So our partners, Laureate, we have a 10-year contract with them. They provide the investment for the partnership. We receive a percentage of revenues for our costs and the use of our brand. The partnership was initially established effectively as an accreditation arrangement, but now it's much more of a collaborative partnership, certainly in the way that the QAA would define collaborative partnerships. But we are now entering, as we all well know, into a new era of online learning. And one of the challenges for this particular partnership is how we can increase the flexibility of our partnership model in order to be able to respond to the challenges and the opportunities that now come our way through new modes of learning for online. We have complete academic control of the partnership. We write the programs and the module specifications. We oversee all the quality assurance arrangements, including boards of examiners and external examiners. Laureate, on their part, market the programs. They recruit and enroll the students. They build the materials in the online platforms, and they maintain those online platforms and then teach and assess the modules. Of course, technology plays a fundamental role in the delivery of our online programs, and it's very carefully aligned with our pedagogy and ensures that the programs are very interactive and very well supported. There's great energy in our online classrooms where we have classmates who have worked with classmates from all around the world, something that wouldn't necessarily happen in a classroom on a campus in Liverpool or elsewhere. Our partner Laureate provides 24 hours a day, 7 days a week technical support, and we receive very high positive feedback from our students on their experience of that online learning. It's fully accessible online learning because it helps our students who are in the majority working professionals to be able to study whilst being able to maintain their ability to earn an income, and in many cases they're also looking after a young family at the same time. I'll only mention MOOCs very briefly, and that's just to say that like everybody else, we are playing with MOOCs. They are an opportunity to understand the possibilities around technology-enhanced learning. As has been said before, I don't think MOOCs are the end of the story. They're really only the beginning of the story, but they do indicate that there are very exciting possibilities for online learning in the future. So by maintaining academic control, we mitigate the risks associated with these types of partnerships, particularly the quality of provision. Our online degrees are awarded directly by the university, and they have the same validity and credibility as our campus equivalents. A number of our online degree programs are accredited by leading international organizations and industry bodies. So, for example, all our online management programs, our MBA and our DBA, are accredited by the Association to Advance Collegiate Schools of Business, otherwise known as AACSB. AACSB only accredits about 5% of business schools around the world. So that's a reflection of the quality of the academic experience. The other risk, of course, is brand risk and brand association, and it's very important to ensure that we create a clearly defined brand and build stories around the brand to build the reputation of those programs. And indeed, it's also important to be clear about the rules for the use of brand, particularly between two partners. For our partner, the risks are the financial risks, operational risks, and risks around increases in market demand. For us, the benefits are very clear. We can partner with a global leader in online provision, which helps us to become quickly established and to respond to the marketplace. And it supports our strategic aims, helps us grow our student numbers, and builds our reputation and global reach. For Laureate, they get to partner with a top 1% world university. They can be assured of the quality of the provision, and of course there's a financial return for both partners as well. The second case study is our partnership with the Singapore Institute of Technology. Our partnership with SIT is one of our newer partnerships, which we established in 2013. SIT, which is Singapore's fifth autonomous university, focuses mainly on providing opportunities for diploma students from Singapore's seven polytechnics to pursue a bachelor's degree. SIT traditionally worked with foreign partners in order to provide top-up bachelor degrees. The program that we run in partnership with SIT is a three-year program, and it's a bachelor's in criminology and security, which allows students with a polytechnic diploma to gain an internationally recognized degree in Singapore. Previously, there was no such provision in the country, and study overseas was the only option. So this is a way for them to study at home in a way that's more affordable. We have a collaboration agreement with SIT, which is for a 5-year period and is renewable. So we've established the University of Liverpool in Singapore, a legal entity which contracts with SIT. SIT bears all the financial risk of the venture by guaranteeing the University of Liverpool a minimum number of students and a fixed fee. And the surplus that we generate from our activity in Singapore is returned back to the University of Liverpool, back here home. We, again, retain complete academic control. We have invested in new staff who are based full-time in Singapore. We also used adjunct staff from SIT. And, of course, we've got some of our own academic staff from Liverpool who fly in and fly out, maintaining academic oversight. And, importantly, from Liverpool's perspective, also undertaking research activity as part of this partnership. This is a campus-based partnership, so from a technology perspective, SIT provides the students with access to very high-quality facilities locally, but those students also have access to our electronic library and our online services and databases back here in Liverpool. So the risks, of course, again, are around quality of provision, brand reputation. We manage that risk by, again, maintaining control over the delivery of the programs. The programs mirror many of the modules that we deliver back in Liverpool, but they obviously take into account their context in the southeast of Asia. The security aspect has also been developed in partnership with the Ministry of Home Affairs in Singapore, with all the modules being subject to Liverpool's quality assurance processes back at home. Our agreement with SIT is for a 5-year period in the first instance, so clearly there's a risk around whether that partnership will be renewed. We manage that risk by ensuring that we develop a very good relationship with our partner, and hopefully over time that trust and reliance on each other that develops will ensure that the partnership is renewed. From SIT's perspective, the risks are around the financial, any financial loss associated with the partnership, and indeed any market risks for demand. The benefits for us are this partnership with a reputable and established provider in Singapore, growth in student numbers, reputation and global reach, and as I've mentioned at the outset, the two-way exchange of staff and students between Liverpool and Singapore. There are also increasing number of research benefits for us with other universities because we have a base in SIT, so we work now with the National University of Singapore. And of course, by being based in Singapore, we've created stronger links with the Singapore government, with industry, and with other universities. The benefits for SIT are that they get to collaborate with a university in the top 1% worldwide. They get a competitive advantage by being able to offer students a unique experience and program. They can be assured about quality, the quality of the programs, and there's also a financial return for them. Finally, turning now to the third example, and this is our largest partnership to date, and this is Xi'an Jiao Tong Liverpool University. So Liverpool recognized early on that China was an increasingly important student recruitment market. And between 2000 and 2003, the university explored several opportunities to enter this market. It also recognized, like many others, that the traditional model of students coming to the UK to undertake a 3-year program was changing. So about 11 years ago, in 2003-04, Liverpool signed an MOU with Xi'an Jiao Tong University in China, XJTU, which is based in Xi'an in northwestern China, and committed to exploring the possibility of a collaborative venture in mainland China. In 2006, Liverpool and XJTU, which is one of the top 10 universities in China, successfully partnered to establish Xi'an Jiao Tong Liverpool University, XJTLU. XJTLU is an independent university. It's based in the city of Suzhou, and it's in the Suzhou Industrial Park. Suzhou Industrial Park, like many things Chinese, is extraordinarily big. It's home to over 2,000 international companies, and it has 84 of the Fortune 500 companies based there. In September 2006, XJTLU welcomed its first cohort of students, 164 to be precise, in the areas of computer science, electrical engineering, electronics, and mathematical sciences. Those students were offered the choice of studying in Suzhou for 4 years, coming to Liverpool for a plus one for a master's program, or they could choose a 2+2 option. So they would study in Suzhou for the first 2 years and then come to Liverpool for the final 2 years. And at the end of that, they would receive 2 degrees, a Liverpool degree and an XJTLU degree. By September 2011, the first master's programs were being delivered at XJTLU. By September 2014, we've registered our first PGR students in Suzhou as well. So within 8 years, XJTLU has become a leading university in China. Undergraduate numbers are currently in excess of 6,600 in Suzhou, with a further 2,600 in Liverpool completing the final 2 years of their programs. XJTLU was recently awarded the most influential Sino-Foreign University accolade in China. We have also supported the development of a strong research culture at XJTLU. And as XJTLU has developed from a greenfield site, XJTLU has become a partner in its own right in this relationship. But I'm going to tell you a little bit more about the risks and rewards of the creation of the partnership itself. So the partnership was developed under the Chinese Sino-Foreign Cooperative Education Regulations, developed in 2003. It's one of the first two alongside Nottingham Ningbo to have been established. As I've said, it's a collaborative venture with the Chinese university XJTU. The financial investment has come from a number of sources, partly from the SIP Park that I mentioned earlier, partly from our private partner. But mostly, it's actually been generated by the business, by the university itself locally. And all of this has enabled infrastructure to be developed to the highest standards. The relationship with the government and local municipality was also very important to us and was very important indeed in getting things done. For Liverpool, in revenue terms, in financial terms, the fees that we receive from articulating students who come to Liverpool is our source of revenue from the partnership. We also get some accreditation fees, but they're not particularly significant. XJTLU is an independent university in its own right, so it's got its own regulatory framework. It offers dual awards, as I've said, from XJTLU and from Liverpool, and that is unique in China. There's no other university that does that. It's recognized under license by the Chinese Ministry of Education, so we recruit students from the very highest tier of achieving students from the Gaokao in China. So the quality of the students entering XJTLU is extremely high. It is a private institution, but it's a not-for-profit institution. And the student numbers and the tuition fees are agreed or approved by the provincial government. And unsurprisingly, all delivery and assessment is in English. The technology support, it's a university in its own right. As I've said earlier, it's got new facilities, new buildings. In fact, it's for many colleagues who visit from Liverpool, it's a source of much envy when they come back home to Liverpool and they tell us all about the wonderful facilities that are available locally. The risks, of course, again, to repeat, are around quality of provision. It's important for us to retain control over program design, tuition, quality control, the assessment and degree classifications, etc., which are all modeled on what we do back at Liverpool. There are no shortcuts in this process. The quality of the degree offered at Suzhou is exactly the same as Liverpool, and this has been confirmed in two separate QAA visits in 2009 and 2012. The risks for XJTU are similar to ours, to Liverpool's, but they're probably not to the same extent. The benefits for Liverpool, well, we get to partner with a top 10 Chinese university. We have the support of the Chinese government to recruit Tier 1 students. And the growth in student numbers, reputation, and global reach is helping us to recruit high-quality students, high-quality academics, and contributing to the overall success of Liverpool. Those XJTLU students are also impacting directly on Liverpool's performance back here in the UK. The high quality of those students has increased the number of first and 2-1 degrees from the University of Liverpool. And finally, turning to the top tips, that's my list. I'll highlight five for you. First, I think a good strategic fit is essential. Being confident in your partner and what you want to achieve and be very clear about that is the foundation stone for any transnational partnership like this. Secondly, there must be commitment at senior level within the partner organisations, but not just at senior level, but right through the levels in each organisation. Otherwise, a great idea doesn't get translated into reality. My third tip to highlight would be careful risk analysis. This is very important, particularly around reputation and brand. That's where, for us, the highest risk exists in any of our international partnerships. Fourth, I think undertaking a detailed market analysis is important. Understanding stakeholder expectations is important. That sounds like an obvious thing to do. It is, but it can be quite difficult because in many cases with these international partnerships, you are breaking new ground, frankly. You're creating a market that doesn't necessarily exist. So for me, one of the experiences of these projects is that sometimes you have to have the conviction in your own beliefs about these projects, that you can't always provide clear evidence of the market that's there. And finally, these partnerships tend to be long-term, and therefore it's really important that you allow flexibility to renegotiate the partnership, because as we well know in the UK, the environment in which we're operating is changing dramatically. And if you are part of a very narrow partnership, it can be very difficult to be flexible and to respond to changes in the marketplace. So finally, it's often said that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. This is certainly true for successful partnerships, where each party brings a specific set of characteristics which are complementary to the other, and to create a mutually beneficial arrangement. Developing and maintaining partnerships can be time-consuming for all the parties involved, but with the right partner and a strong strategy, the rewards can be great. Thank you very much.